But when you think about Jesus and you consider who he is, and of course, we've already been thinking about that this morning through the taking of communion. How many of you have ever thought to yourself, there's no way I could ever really be like him? Ever thought that? There's no way I could be like Jesus. And how many of you, after reading about the various kinds of miracles and the signs and wonders that Jesus did, have ever thought to yourself, there's no way I could do the kinds of things that he did? Anybody ever thought that? I think in our humanness, and we understand who he is, those things seem way out of reach for us, don't they? And so being like Jesus and doing supernatural things, for many actually can even seem impossible. How is that even possible? And if that describes the way you feel about yourself, or what you believe about yourself, then what this shows us is, honestly, we still have some work to do in understanding who we are as a child of God and what being a child of God makes possible. We oftentimes and many times limit ourselves through what we think, what we feel, what we believe. How many know God wants to take those limitations off of us? Right? Because Jesus didn't only come to be a Savior. He came to provide for us what was necessary so that how he lived and who he was could be actually be transformed within us so that we could be like him and do what he did. That's why he came. And so we need to understand that he wants to make things possible and actually has made things possible that to us seem impossible. And we're going to look at an example of this in God's Word by looking at Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through 24. If you'll read that with me, it says, "A man in the crowd answered," of course, talking to Jesus, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech." So this child was mute. It could not utter a word. "Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." You're going to love Jesus' response. The people who say Jesus is love and tender and always accepting and never has a harsh word. Listen to what Jesus says. "You unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you?" Now, does that sound like the Jesus you've heard about in many stories in the Bible? Now, I don't believe this was a condemning word, because the Bible is clear Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. But how many know that salvation comes by faith? And so if there's anything that really was just pulled at Jesus was the fact when people wouldn't believe in who he was and what he could do. So he makes this statement. He says, "Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, verse 20. "When the spirit saw Jesus," this is interesting, "it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion." So this boy apparently wasn't having an episode before that, but the minute the spirit within him saw Jesus, it began to manifest. It began to throw a fit, if you will. "And he fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth." Now, I will tell you this. When a demon begins to do those kinds of things, it's getting real concerned that its moments are numbered. That there's about to be a confrontation. that they've been able to avoid for quite some time. And it was trying to resist. Okay? But it says, Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? So, this is interesting. He said, from childhood. So, this spirit has just tormented this child since a childhood. And then here's the man's continued response. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But listen, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Now, how many think this father was desperate? And how many think he was just a little bit frustrated because the disciples has already tried to do something? That didn't work. So if you can, please do something. But listen to Jesus' response to the man. He says, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. I want you to hear that again. Jesus said to this man, everything is possible for the one who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Because Jesus just gave the answer to the problem. Something was going on with the disciples' faith even at that point in time, all right? That was inhibiting them from doing what needed to be done. I don't know if it was because of the outward response of this boy, and they hadn't seen something like that, and so it was freaking them out. And so they were like, oh, this is too, and demons will do that only when they think they can buffalo you. A demon actually wants to stay hidden. It doesn't want to be discovered, because if it's discovered, then it realizes that somebody can confront it. But if no one knows it's there, it can just keep doing its dirty work inside of a person's life. But when it comes to that point where there's confrontation, again, sometimes demons will do ridiculous things. I mean, people, we experienced this when we went down to Nicaragua. I mean, we literally were ministering to some young ladies down there the first time we went. And I mean, the girl literally fell down on the floor and started rolling around screaming and hollering. And we just began to take authority. And the teenagers that were with us had never seen anything like that. Their eyes got about that big around. It's like saucers, okay? Well, that's exactly what the enemy wants, because he wants to bring fear. He wants to bring, and of course, those of us that understood that who we are as children of God, who have authority, there's nothing to be afraid of there. See, that's what the enemy wants, is if he can create fear, he can get you to back off. And that's kind of like his last resort. Because, okay, you've discovered him. Now he's going to try to intimidate, bring fear, do whatever to get you to leave him alone. Of course, with Jesus, he's like, not happening. And so here's the man, I do believe. Well, there's four words that really stood out to me in that phrase that Jesus made. Everything is possible for the one who believes. The first word that stood out to me is the word everything. Notice he didn't say some things. He didn't say a few things. He didn't even say most things. Jesus said everything is possible. Get a hold of that. Jesus wasn't using a pseudo word. He meant what he said. Everything is possible. The second word that stood out to me was the word possible. Possible means that something can happen, or it can be obtained, or achieved. It is within our reach. We are able to acquire it, obtain it, do it, what have you. If something is possible, how many know it can be done? It can be laid hold of, correct? So he said, everything can be acquired or achieved. Everything can be acquired. It is possible. The next word is the word one. To the one. See, God is not a respecter of persons. You might think, well, maybe that pastor over there. Maybe it's possible for him. Or that lady that's just been a prayer warrior all her life and she's been faithful to God for years. Maybe everything's possible for her. But when he said everything is possible to the one, how many know he wasn't negating anybody, but including everybody? But there was a condition. Everything is possible to the one who believes. And that word believes means that, one, they believe in Jesus, and they believe that through him they can possess or achieve those things that they are believing Jesus for. And Jesus said that's everything, correct? That's a phrase that we need to really get a hold of. One sentence, Jesus said a whole lot. So I want to say to you today, everything is possible to you, for you, if you will believe. Yes, I said you. See, as I shared last week, belief or faith is a foundational prerequisite for obtaining anything from God. And the reason faith is required is because God is spirit and he exists in the spiritual realm, which cannot be accessed or even experienced with our natural senses. So in other words, in our pursuit of God, we cannot see, taste, touch, smell, or hear God with our natural senses. Unless literally there's the veil that's parted and God enables that. But in our pursuit of God, we're not going to be able to connect with our natural senses. It's going to require another level. It's going to require faith. And the reason the spiritual realm cannot be accessed or experienced with our natural senses is because the spiritual realm actually exists on a higher dimension than the natural realm exists that we live in. All right? Now, I've already mentioned in previous messages that yes, our spirit, if we are a child of God, is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right? So we are seated in Christ in a spiritual dimension with our spirit. But that spirit has its own set of senses in the spiritual realm. But the part of us that still is operating in the natural, our heart, our soul, our body, we function in this dimension, if you will, this physical dimension, with our natural senses. Okay? And so when it comes to our natural existence, which again includes our heart, our soul, and our body, we exist on a lower dimension than God does. And if you look at this in geometrical terms, just like, let's say, a line is like one-dimensional, which is a lower dimension than a plane, which a piece of paper is like a plane, which is made up of many lines, that's a higher dimension than a line. So a line is a lower dimension than a plane, and a plane is a lower dimension than a cube. which is three-dimensional. All right? Well, our natural and physical existence is a lower dimension than the dimension God exists in, which is a spiritual dimension. And scientists can't figure this out. You know, we think that as human beings, scientists and atheists will think, they think that we're the highest ones on the food chain. Well, I got news for them. There's several other spiritual dimensions that exist that we cannot even comprehend with our natural senses. They don't realize how low dimensional we actually are. And so in order to access that which exists on a higher dimension that our senses cannot connect with, it requires believing that we are in a lower dimension, and the way that we access that higher dimension is believing that it's there and that God created it. That requires faith. There is no other means by which we who are lower dimensional can access God. It's not possible. It requires that we believe what God says. All right? And so, since our natural existence is on a lower dimension than God's spiritual existence, the only way we can access what is spiritual and, I'm going to say it this way, supernatural, right? From a natural dimension is through faith. And that is exactly what Hebrews 11:6 says. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And how do we know what to believe then? Since we can't see, taste, touch, smell, or hear what exists in the spiritual realm, we find the answer in Romans 10:17. It says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So how are we going to get to know God? The only way we're going to get to know God is by his word and his description of himself and how he functions and what his realm, if you will, spiritual realm is like. And so that you know this terminology, that realm is what the Bible calls God's kingdom. That realm is his sphere of rule, of domain. He is a king. He rules in heaven, but he's a good king. Amen? Everything in heaven is full of life, full of joy. It's not selfish. There's no sin. There's no sorrow. There's no sickness. There's no sadness. In the spiritual realm where God exists, it's all good because God is good. But here's the key. God wants what exists in that realm to be experienced in the natural realm. And in order for that to happen, how many think that what's in the spiritual realm, before it can ever become a reality in the natural realm, you've got to at least believe that it exists, right? You've got to believe that it's possible for that which exists in the spiritual realm to operate in the natural realm. If you don't believe that, then you're not even going to go after it, are you? Right, so here's something I would like us to think about when it comes to seeing a possibility become a reality. Okay? How many know there's a lot of things that are possible that people don't think are possible? Right? Even in the natural, we intuitively know that only that which is possible can somehow become a reality in our life. But let me ask you this. Is it naturally possible for you or I to pick up a 2-ton tractor with our bare hands? That's not even a possibility, is it? So unless you want to break your back or you're feeling really frisky and foolish one day, you're probably not going to walk up to a tractor just to try it and see. Because you already know that's not even possible. And so, since it's not possible, it could never be a reality. But how many things are actually possible, even in the natural, that people still don't believe are possible? For example, in our nation, it is possible to start a business and make a fruitful income. That is a possibility in this nation. Would you agree? But how many people would tell you that doing so is not possible for them? And they would give you a whole list of reasons why. Here's another example. It is possible to have a healthy and strong marriage that lasts for a lifetime. But how many spouses would tell you because of what they've gone through or how bad the other person is or what the other person has done, it's not possible for them. So they file for divorce. Yes, there may be challenges, there may be issues that exist in these circumstances. But does that mean neither pursuit is possible? It just means they're unwilling to commit to and persevere through what it would take, doesn't it? Because those are both possibilities. They are possible. How many people fail to pursue something that actually is possible because their belief that it isn't possible inhibits them? How many know that kind of thinking stops a lot of people from obtaining or accomplishing a lot of things? The same holds true when it comes to obtaining and accomplishing what is spiritual and supernatural. I want you to see that correlation. You have to believe it's possible first, or you're not even going to try. But because so many people fail to believe what God says about who they are in Christ, and what they can do as a child of God, even supernaturally, many people never pursue what God says is possible, and therefore they never learn what it takes to access what is possible, and therefore what He says is possible never becomes a reality in their life. So before we can ever access what God says is possible, we must first believe that. We've got to believe it. Jesus said, everything is possible to the one who believes. Now, last week I began to share with you some of the things that not only God does say are possible for the child of God, but those things are also His plan for His children. That He doesn't want them to just remain possibilities. He wants them to become realities in their life. But again, before something can become a reality, you must first believe it's possible. See, as a born-again child of God, spiritually, we, again, I've said this, are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and therefore we do already have access to spiritual things because we're seated in that realm, in our spirit. We've been talking about that, right? Spirit, soul, and body. And when we're born again, our spirit is seated there. We are now no longer separated from God. We are reunited with God in Christ Jesus. And so we exist as children of God on different dimensional planes, whether you know that or not. That's what makes us created in the image of God. That is what makes us unique. Because we exist in the spiritual realm as children of God, but we also exist in our heart, soul, and body in the natural realms. And there's a first heaven, which is the earthly natural realm. There's the second heaven, which is a spiritual dimension that also demons and angels can move about in. And I believe, soulishly, we function in that realm. That's why I believe Christians can be tormented by demons in their mind, emotions, and will, because of the second dimension, if you will. And then God exists on the highest dimension, and that's where we're seated. That's why the Bible says that Satan is under our feet, because he was cast out of the third heaven, right? And so he exists in a lower dimension than your spirit exists. I know this is deep in some ways, but we in the church have got to get this, because so many in the church don't understand who they are and how they're designed in order to be able to access what God said is possible. See, it's all there in our design. If we understand how we have been created, we will understand that in those different dimensions, if we can connect the natural with the spiritual through our design, through faith, we can experience in the natural realm what already exists in the spiritual realm, and our spirit already sees and is aware of in that higher dimension. This is why this is so important that we understand this. Okay? But before we can experience the possibilities that God says are possible in the natural, again, we first need to know what those possibilities are. Would you agree? And only when we know what is possible will we then begin to pursue those things in order to access them. And so I began to share last week with you what is possible for the child of God. And the first thing that I shared with you is this: every part of our natural being, in other words, our heart, our soul, mind, emotion, and will, and our body, can be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. See, when we're born again, our spirit is seated with Christ. And now the goal is for our heart, our belief system, our value system, our intent system, and our moral system of our heart. I'll get into that more in future weeks. And then our soul, our mind, emotion, and will, what we think, what we feel emotionally, and what we do, what we choose. And then with our bodies, all those parts of our being that exist on a natural dimension can be conformed to who we've been created to be as a child of God in the spiritual dimension. That's now possible for you, whether you knew that or not. And so to say that you can't be like Jesus, that's the lie of the enemy, because you can be. I'm not saying it's always easy. I'm not saying there's not warfare. I'm not saying there's not temptations. How many know our see, taste, touch, smell, and hear part of us kind of likes to do things that God says, no, that's not good for you, right? So we have to be ruled by our spirit and not by our flesh, correct? But listen, it is possible for you. It is possible. Or Jesus would have never said that we were created in Christ Jesus to be and predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. Amen? Well, we saw that last week, so I'm not going to go through all of that again. All right? The second thing that I shared that being a child of God makes possible is we can now be vessels or conduits through which God's heavenly kingdom, how it functions in that spiritual realm, right? We can be vessels now through which that kingdom is manifested in the earth supernaturally, and it is possible that through that process we can also make disciples of all nations, which is the Great Commission which Jesus called us to, right? That is now possible for us as children of God. And I began by looking at a passage of Scripture in Matthew 10:5-8, where Jesus sent out the 12 disciples initially, right? And when he sent them out, he says, as you go, this is verse 7, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And listen to what he told them to do. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, did they do the things that Jesus did? Of course. They did. He told them to do it, and they did it. Now, the problem is, and I shared this, and I'm not going to run down that track a long way, but I will say, but there are theologies that said, yeah, but that was those guys. They were the ones that walked with Jesus. They were his apostles. But once we got the Bible, we didn't need to be able to do spiritual things anymore, supernatural things, so we don't need that anymore, okay? Well, I'm here to tell you that wasn't just for the 12 apostles. Now, this is the problem. Because people have not experienced supernatural things, they have created doctrines that tell you this stuff. And many people have had that piped into them for so many years that they don't even think for them it's possible. And because they don't think it's possible, they will never pursue it so it becomes a reality. Amen? And so, Jesus later on doesn't only send out the 12, now he sends out 72 other guys with pretty much the same set of instructions. We see that in Luke 10:8-20. Let's look at this. It says, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there. Sound similar? Now, if you read through the whole chapter of chapter 10, you will see that this is 72 other people that Jesus sent out. And he says, tell them, does this sound familiar? The kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Meaning, we came to tell you what's possible. If you refuse to believe it's possible, you're not going to be able to get what is possible. And so, Jesus gave them this instruction. He says, wipe your feet off as a warning to them, yet be sure of this. So he's now telling them, repeat what you said originally. The kingdom of God has come near you. I tell you, because listen, they didn't believe. Selah, think about this. Because they didn't believe, Jesus said, I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom. Think about what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Because the kingdom of God was right there amidst of them, and they chose to reject it. They did not believe. He says, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. Sitting in sackcloth and ashes, which means they would have repented, obviously. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Jesus' belief is a big deal. Amen? It's a big deal. So listen to what he says. Whoever listens to you listens to me. And whoever rejects you, because you're the carrier of my message, rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. Now we're talking about the Father, right? So that's, isn't that how authority flows? The 72, there it is, returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. And to, now he's talking about demonic forces there, okay? And to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, listen to this. Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now you need to get a hold of what Jesus was saying there. Listen. Don't get excited that the demons respond to the authority that comes through my name. Get excited that the reason that happens is because you're seated in heavenly places as a child of God. And because you're a child of God, you have the authority to make those demons submit. But if you weren't a child of God, that wouldn't even be an option for you. So the higher thing to get excited about is knowing who you are and where you're seated and who your Father is. That's what's important. But listen, too many doctrinal teachings now tell you, see, you know, the whole demon thing, that's not a big deal. Just be glad you're going to heaven when you die. That's not what that's saying. What that's saying is it's more important that you know who you are, because listen, when you know that, you're going to go confront devils, and you're going to go lay hands on the sick and they're going to be healed, and you're going to go set the captives free, because you know who you are. You're a child of God. So are you getting this? This keeps coming back to our identity, doesn't it? We're either a child of God, united with him, or we're a slave to sin and fear, separated from him. That's in our spirit. That's who we are. Amen? And when we know who we are, and we know what is possible, that we can heal the sick and cast out devils and be conformed to the image of Christ in our natural being. When we know all that's possible, then guess what? We're not going to sit back and play patty cake in the church anymore. We're not just going to come and sing songs and raise our hands and have religious experiences, although I'm not denouncing those things in the sense that when we come to worship, we are reaching out to the Father. We are wanting to be in his presence. But how many know there's a difference to come to church and pursue him with all of our heart and our expression versus to just come and do our religious duty every week? Well, I should probably go to church because that's what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. If that's your attitude, you know what? Jesus is going, gig me. Right? He wants our heart. He wants us to want him. He doesn't want us to have to pursue him. He wants us to want to pursue him. And when we want to pursue him, and we do pursue him because we want to, guess what? His presence shows up. And things start happening in the natural that already exist in the supernatural. That is why Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." See, Jesus wants to bring the kingdom of God to earth. And listen, you need to know it's possible for you who believe. See, so we've talked about the 12, and we talked about what the 72 did, right? But do you realize Acts 1:8's not just limiting it to them? It means it's possible for you and me too. Let's look at a few verses, and I'm just going to wrap it up with this principle that it now goes beyond just those that we read about in the Bible. Okay? It goes beyond that. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That's talking about the readers of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, but that's also talking about the average ordinary Christian from generation to generation to generation to generation. Okay? Let's look at John 14:11-13. Jesus says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works." This is the supernatural miracles that Jesus was doing themselves. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me," did this just say the 12 apostles? Did this just say the 72 that Jesus sent out? Did this just say the first century church? No, this says, you're the one who believes in me. Listen to this. "The works that I do, he will do also." And here's something. "And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." So that means he was going to send the Holy Spirit that we just read about in Acts 1:8. "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." So he's doing it through you, right? It exists in the spiritual realm. You believe it by faith. You ask Jesus for it, and he releases it through you into the natural realm, and he will manifest it by his power through your doing, your believing, your words, your actions, okay? "That the Father may be glorified in the Son." And then ultimately, what's the purpose of all this? What did Jesus say? He always told them, heal the sick, do this, right? But he said, "But tell them, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." How many know that's God's rule? That means that God now becomes ruler of your life. That means if you believe, you're submitting to that rulership, to his government in your life. Does that make sense? And so, when you do that, now he wants you to go heal the sick and cast out devils and set the captives free and say that the kingdom of God is at hand. And we know this by the next two passages, and these are the last two passages I'm going to refer to. 2 Corinthians 5:20. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ." Now, an ambassador, you know, is a representative of one nation to another nation, right? And an ambassador does not go to another nation to speak on his own behalf. He speaks on behalf of the nation from which he comes. So if you're an ambassador of Christ, then you are a representative of his kingdom coming to speak his message to this foreign world that we live in, this natural world, right? The kingdom of God is at hand, and I'm going to demonstrate it to you. you are ambassadors of Christ. Listen, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. There's the message that we bring. And then finally, we know this one, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came to them and said, all authority, listen to this, this was after his death and resurrection, right? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything. Do you think that includes go and cast out devils and heal the sick and raise the dead? See, everything is possible for those who believe. Obey everything I have commanded you. And listen, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do you realize that means he's with us because we're still in pursuit of that end of that age? So this isn't just talking about the 12. This isn't just talking about the 72. This isn't just talking about the early church. This is talking about you and me. All things, everything is possible for you if you will believe. I want to challenge you. I've got one more possibility I haven't gone over yet. We'll get to that in another week. Okay? But I want you to begin. I'm going to ask you to begin. If you are a child of God, I want to challenge you to begin renewing your mind to God's word about what is possible. Listen, you can be conformed to the image of Christ. You can also be a person in whom God does supernatural things and through whom God manifests his kingdom. If you are a child of God, you can help others become disciples of Christ. It is possible for you if you will believe. But in order to believe, remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so listen, if you have or you do struggle with believing any of these possibilities, whether it's because you have looked at yourself from a worldly, natural perspective rather than from a God-centered perspective and a spiritual perspective, or if you struggle on whether you have because you've sat under years of teaching, and I'm going to call it theological programming, that told you that some of these things weren't possible, or if you've never really heard some of these possibilities before, so you're just trying to wrap your mind around what I've been talking about and these spiritual concepts I've been mentioning, I want to encourage you to take time to get in God's word and renew your mind with what he says is possible. You can do that in a few different ways. You can get a copy of the last few messages I've preached and begin listen to it on our website as many times as is necessary to break down those thoughts of impossibility until you believe in your heart those things are possible. I would encourage you to do that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Another thing you can do is take the scriptures that I've been referring to and read over them, meditate on them, possibly even memorize some of them. Get them hidden in your heart so that's where it's got to, listen folks, Don't feel like, okay, I'm not doing miracles. I'm not healing people. I'm not doing. That's not where you have to start. Before you can even do that, you've got to believe that's possible. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that don't think that that's even possible. So that's where you've got to start. If you struggle with believing that it is, then pore over God's word. Read what his word says again and again till you believe it's possible. Because then once you believe it's possible, listen, this was a struggle for me for years. But I believe it's possible now. So you know what I'm doing now? Now I'm trying to figure out how to do it. Now I'm taking God's word and I'm saying, okay, Lord, show me. You know, and I understand principles, and this is of spiritual faith and power and authority. There's spiritual principles that because it's possible, how many know just because it's possible to run a marathon, you just don't run out there one day and just decide to run one, right? How many know there's some training involved? You got to learn some techniques, some breathing patterns, some stretching patterns. There's things you got to, but if you believe it's possible, you'll start the process. So don't worry about running the marathon yet. Just get your mind focused to say, yes, I, as a human being, through my faith, can do supernatural things. Then we'll talk about learning stretches and breathing patterns and on a spiritual sense. Then we'll talk about how to do spiritual things. But we got to start here. Believe that you, yes, you, as a child of God, can raise the dead. Just believe it's possible. That's all you got to do is believe it. And if you don't, get into God's word until you do. All right? That's your marching orders this week. Say, God, work in me. I'm going to get into your word. So that I believe, yes, I can. Me. Can I believe it? Yes, I can believe it now. I can do these things. Because I'm a child of God, seated in heavenly places. And I can access that place in faith for more than just being natural. I can be supernatural in Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's your mission. That's your charge for this week. Get your mind renewed. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Let's pray.